It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, we're so back. That's James. I'm Kyle. Back in studio for the first time in a year and a half. Feels like it's been a long time.
Or 4 days.
It's four, yeah. No, well, I haven't been in since last Friday.
Oh, that's true.
So it's like, what?
A week ago Friday.
10 days?
Yeah, okay.
9, 10 days?
It's always weird when you're not here. It's weird when you're not here.
Yeah, vibes are different.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, man. So we're back. I need... How do I want to say this? I hope that there is a day soon where anytime you wear a vest, Monty McNair doesn't have to get brought up. My man does not have a monopoly on vests.
Well, I think he does.
He doesn't, though.
Okay. We're going to have a vest day. Whatever. Like,
I want to wear a vest without people being like, oh, man, Monty McNair, am I right?
You do what you want.
I'm going to.
That's right.
That's what I said. He does not have a monopoly on vests.
Okay.
Just like he doesn't have a monopoly on bad hair and a beard.
There it is.
Like, so I have those things too. I'm not gonna kowtow to Monty McNair. Sounds like you had a nice weekend at least.
I did. We had a good night out on Saturday. Went and saw a local cover band.
I don't care about that. The thing that's on the rundown.
But we got home the next day,
nice.
and our friend Tyler Jennings from the chat had come up to go fishing.
There he is.
And it took a little bit, but him and his son Calvin caught like a whopper. They caught like a really, really nice rainbow trout. Because they stalk the lake. They stalk
right.
the lake in my backyard.
Right.
Right. Right? So
There's no access for trout to naturally find their way into your lake.
No, but there is access for a river otter, which kept, because I was worried he was going to steal their trout. I really was, because a river otter pops up, and all of a sudden we see him
you
swimming around.
You have otters in your lake?
Yeah, that, and
brother,
we have tons of turtles.
The number one selling point you have ever made for living on that lake.
I've told you, like, my backyard is a soup kitchen. There are deers everywhere and baby deers being born in my backyard all the time. It's out of control. And, like, you walk down, and you have to be careful taking the dogs out because it's possible there is a...
Dirty Mike and the boys in your backyard?
Yes. Dirty Mike and the boys are in the backyard. It's possible that there's a mama with two babies walking up the hill and will attack you. But yeah, you go out in the backyard. The backyard's pretty cool, and it was good to somebody use it because I don't fish.
Mm-hmm.
But to see
at
them,
all?
No, I don't. Like I've never enjoyed fishing.
Okay.
But to see them out there and like having a really good Father Sunday, it was really cool.
Love that.
And to see him catch like a really, really nice fish. And
yeah, that was not a guppy.
No, it's like I think they're restaurant grade. They just loaded the pond with them,
mm-hmm.
And they're working on the life cycle of the pond. So trout can't live in warm water. So eventually the trout will die if you don't go fish for them. But in the meantime, they feed the bass, which are huge in the lake, and then on top of that, the trout, because they live on like up near the top. Right now, they're eating all the bugs. So it's just helping improve. And then when
it's a
trout,
whole little ecosystem.
Yeah, when trout die, they sink to the bottom. They don't float.
Right.
So that's big because it just adds nutrients to the lake.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's fun. It was like fun to watch him out there having a good time fishing, especially like my youngest on occasion will go fishing, but not very often.
All right.
So at least someone's using it.
Yeah, party on. Shout out to Tyler Jennings. Shout out to everybody in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320 for listening on the radio. We appreciate you as well. But if you're listening on the radio, just because you get out of the car doesn't mean the show's over. You can jump on YouTube or Twitch. You can also jump on the free Odyssey app. We're available there. Plus, the James Hammond, Kyle Madsen show. It's this show in podcast form. And if you're listening there and not live, salute to you as well. We appreciate it immensely. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. And if you're watching on YouTube, you just got to Nice shot of a restaurant grade rainbow trout.
There it is.
Looks fantastic. All right. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Friday night. 132-108, the final score, and a loss to Golden State. I was on Friday not feeling great about the direction the Kings were headed and got some pushback for that. And so I guess my question is, are we allowed to be negative today then? Like, is it okay now? Now that everything that you and I were concerned about being a thing on Friday, being a thing on Friday?
Kyle, I keep feeling like it's like people are so angry and like, again, they're frustrated with what they're like calling negativity. And I don't consider a lot of what we're doing negativity. I consider it being realistic.
That's kind of what I thought.
I can't sit here and lie to people and say this and this is going to happen and like, oh, everything's rosy and great and sure. Like, no, I mean, like, this season has been after we got to the initial like, uh-oh, this thing is mm-hmm. not what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's been extremely predictable
mm-hmm.
every step of the way, and that's unfortunate. But now we're dealing with the repercussions of that predictability and the fact that this team has like way, way too many, just on the court, way too many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody is getting to, like, they just keep
all of the
not figuring it out.
Look, here's where you and I were at, were at least where I was at. I'm pretty sure we're on the same page, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. But we had questions and concerns about whether the roster fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And it has looked lately like the roster just doesn't fit together. I mean, that's 24 turnovers against Golden State, 38 points off those turnovers.
Kyle, when you lose the turnover, the points off turnover battle, 38-5.
38-5.
It's game over, Kyle. Like, there's no way to recover.
You can't. Because that's easy baskets.
Yeah. Here's my frustration that I just want to make sure that people understand. Like, I had this conversation with Sean and Brendan on the podcast last week. They're like, well, you know, they're going to have like a top five rated offense. And I'm like, whoa. What would make you think that this is a top five rated offense? Just because you have great offensive players, that does not make a great offense.
Correct.
And so my point was like, you guys are like way like jumping the gun on who this team is as an offensive group.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. They all can score. Like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Teams are put together like this all the time that lose a ton of games.
Yep.
Like, again, the Washington Wizards walked into the season with all kinds of scoring options,
mm-hmm.
and they're just horrible.
Really bad.
Like a 9-win team. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem. When you're building a team, it has to be about fit. It has to be about a puzzle and complementing pieces and trying to find the right mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense right now, we don't even know how bad their defense is. The offense is killing their defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting 38 points off turnovers, that means that most of those points are coming in transition. And yep. you're cooked.
Yep.
If you can't get back and set your defense, you're absolutely cooked in the NBA. And the fact that this team like just can't figure out how to work together and score together, they're just giving away the other side of the court, and it's tough.
That's it. It's the struggles on offense are translating to the other end.
Yep.
Like, that can't... I get that it happens sometimes, but that just can't happen. In fact, the opposite needs to be true.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be, hey, we can't figure it out on offense right now necessarily, so we're just going to go bust our ass defensively and figure it out from there. But it's, hey, we're not figuring it out on offense right now, so I guess we're just not winning today.
Man, there are so many things that are playing into each other, and that's mm-hmm. the one thing that I want to keep bringing up. It's that everybody wants Domas to be more aggressive, right? And mm-hmm. you're like, hey, man, why are you not being more aggressive? The reason why he's not being super aggressive a lot of the time is because He's getting in early foul trouble. He's getting in early foul trouble because you don't have good defensive mm-hmm. guards or wings. Mm-hmm. You've got one wing that can play defense. The other one really does not. And so he picks up a couple of early fouls, and all of a sudden he becomes docile. He doesn't set screens the same way because he's worried about the offense foul. He gets out of the way on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And so it feeds into this never-ending cycle of, like, how do you fix – what are the root problems mm-hmm. and how do you fix them? Mm-hmm. Because I think at this point, like, we're just looking at the symptoms, and the symptoms are like, oh my gosh, you know, you're giving up all these points. Oh my gosh, you're turning the ball over. The turnovers are wild, man. I have not seen this team in the last seven games since the big trades. They're 30th in the league in turnovers and turnover percentage. They're 29th in the league in assist to turnover ratio. This is a team that, like, was the number one rated offense, a historically good offense mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And it's not even the similar thing, like mm-hmm. what we're watching. And it's really tough because a lot of the problems that they have is that they didn't have the system in place to withstand all of the new pieces and the different pieces that they're putting in. And on top of that, a lot of the pieces that they brought in are so incredibly specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like Domantas Sabonis, you cannot find another player in the league outside of Jokic that plays like him.
Mm-mm.
DeMar DeRozan, there's only a handful of guys in the league that play like him. I mean, that's why he's the king of the mid-range. Mm-hmm. Like he's very specific. And so you start having these pieces that are thrown into the puzzle. And if they don't fit together, there's really no way for it to work. And mm-hmm. that's what we're kind of seeing at this point. Just like an overload of changes, but also like very specific types of players that you have to build around.
Right. Everybody's miscast.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, sorry. I think Malik's a really good player.
Yep.
I think Malik Monk is an awesome player. I don't think the best version of your team is one where Malik Monk is your number one point guard. I think he can play that role at times as your secondary ball handler. You'd feel really good about that. But I don't think he's your, like, a number one point guard mm-hmm. who's going to organize your offense and just settle things down. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Zach LaVine, we said, hey, if he can, you know, be this kind of spot up shooter and off ball cutter, like, maybe that's how he fits in here. That's not going to be his game. That's not what he's paid to do. That's not what he's ever done in his what's he been in the league? 10 years? 11 years?
Yeah.
11 years in the NBA. That's not his game. That's not his bag. So he's not going to do that. And then what you just mentioned with Domantas Sabonis and with DeMar DeRozan, it's just not – individually on paper, you're like, wow, hey, they got some hoopers.
Mm-hmm.
But then you watch them play together. It's like, this is not it.
Well, no, I think the hooper thing is the imperative word. They have a bunch of hoopers.
Yes.
But that's not usually how – you can have one or two hoopers mm-hmm. on your team. But fundamental strong basketball players is mm-hmm. something that you have to have
mm-hmm.
and you have to build a system around. So for me, like, it's just a really odd mix of players. And like, look, I don't know how the season's going to play out. And I know Doug Christie's doing everything in his power to try to rein it in mm-hmm. and try to figure out how to connect the guys and how to work through and how to drop back to the basics, right? How to cut back and say, hey, look, we can't do that. But there's, even if you guys are watching out there, you can go back to the last game. There are so many instances where Malik Monk brings the ball up the court and Zach LaVine is standing on like the right side and taking away where Malik would typically go and get in a two-man game with Domas.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do it because Zach LaVine's already standing there. And I looked, it's not like Zach LaVine only shoots from there, because there are players in the league that only shoot from one side of the
court. Right,
right. We looked, and his shot chart looks like someone took a shotgun with bird shot and just, mm-hmm. like, it's crazy. Like, it's not refined at all. He either scores at the rim, or he shoots a ton of three-point shots, but his three-point shots come from all over the court.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more or less like Malik has to tell him, slow the dribble at half court, get out of the way.
Right.
Go to the other side.
Right.
Let me go to where I go. And the fact that they just don't know each other is a lot of what's happening here. And the fact that they didn't have practice time, and I know a lot of people just think that, oh, it's the All-Star break, they get a whole week of practice. No, league mandates
right.
that they shut the gym down, that you're right. not allowed in. You can go in without coaches, but you're not allowed in to do any sort of practice until the 2 days before games restart. So a little awkward, a little weird, but this is where they're at, man. This is they have to figure out the way to climb out of this hole.
All right, we'll keep talking about this. Talk about what's ahead for the Kings. What Doug Christie's trying to do to get this thing back on track. I need to get back on track with my underdog daily fantasy lineups because I'm having a really, really tough time lately. I think I've lost like 3 or 4 in a row. If you're not familiar with underdog daily fantasy and their pick'em game specifically, it's my favorite way to watch basketball now. You know, when there's a Kings game, I'm going to have a lineup because you can win up to 1,000 times your money with underdog to play. You pick 2 or more players, you pick more or less on their stats, you pick higher or lower on their stats, points, assists, rebounds. They do it by half, they do it by quarter, they do them live. It is overwhelming the amount of teams, players, and stats available to you with underdog's pick'em game. So here's my lineup tonight. I'm going Domantas Sabonis higher than 14.5 rebounds. I'm going LaMelo Ball higher than 6.5 assists, and I'm going DeMar DeRozan higher than 21.5 points in tonight's Kings Hornets game at Golden 1 Center. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. All right. Plenty more Kings coming up. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. Just us today. No Joe, no Jesse. I come back in studio and everybody abandons us. It's fine.
That's right.
I understand.
At least I totally get it.
I wouldn't want to hang out with me either. No, we're talking a ton of Kings today. Real quick, before we get back into some of the stuff we were talking about at the break, and if you want to hang out with us during the breaks, hit youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and we just hang out.
Yeah.
Most of the time, continue the conversation. Gets a little weird sometimes, but it's fine. So we've had this kind of interesting discussion, and our guy Shaka Zulu Galaxy is trying to make the point that, hey, everybody's being so negative, but I think this team just got better. They just need time to gel. Is more or less the crux of his argument. And again, I want to go back to something I said last week, and I'll say this ad nauseum. I am a very firm believer in sports of the never say never phrase. Like, okay. That is, I will go anytime, like, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I think this very obvious thing is going to happen, but just never say never, right? Again, I went there. It's where my buddy Nick Wagner, who covers the 49ers for ESPN, he would always say that. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, but you have to do, like, you're only saying that because, like, that's how you have to approach your job. Whereas I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, but also, like, never. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is not coming back to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, they redo his deal. He's with them a year longer than I thought he would be. And I was out here going, like, there's no chance. There's a better chance. I'm on the roster. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, just went. So, Shaka Zulu Galaxy might be right. There's a chance. There's some universe where the Kings do figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk say, hey, we need to run this offense through Domas. DeMar, here's the best way. You're going to come off the bench. Keon, you're going to start. We're going to run everything through Domas and Malik and Zach. You're going to be a spot up guy, and you're going to play the dunker spot, and you're going to be a slasher. And this is how it's all going to work out. And everything's good now. Maybe. I don't think that's going to happen based on everything that we've seen since the trade deadline. Based on the lack of, this is the thing that's bothered me the most. Forgetting how everything fits together, forgetting whether they'll start playing better together. Like, sure. The lack of urgency in two massive games is what's really jarring to me. You went into that game against New Orleans, and I will give everybody who has told us that it's really difficult to beat a team twice in a row.
Or three times in four games.
Or like six times in a season. I will hear that argument. But it was the lack of urgency they played with in that game in New Orleans where you let that team hang around, man.
Yep.
You could put your boot on their neck and been like, hey, we're done. This game's over now. And you didn't. And then you came out against Golden State. And Golden State's playing better, to be sure. But losing by, was it 24?
And it wasn't even that close.
In a game that wasn't that close?
Yeah.
Where they just controlled it all four quarters?
On your home court.
On your home court in a game you needed to have?
After you had a week off.
I'm not so bummed that they lost. If they had lost that game 110-108, and it was just back and forth, and you know what? Hey, Steph had a big shot. What are you going to do? That's one thing. The conversation is so different today. But it's the fact that now two games in a row where we've been like, you need this one. You need to win this game. And it was just like, meh.
Kyle, I'll tell you.
That's what I can't get past.
And the post game was wild. Like, we sat in
Please go.
We sat in the media room waiting for, okay, so the NBA bylaws, NBA rules set up is that two players and a coach come out, and it's supposed to be within a reasonable time. And at some point they open the locker room and we can avoid the press conference room and go to the locker room, right? And okay. Try to get players. So we're waiting in the media room and waiting and waiting and waiting. And usually we get a player about 10 minutes after the game.
Yeah.
They talk, and then we get a second player like 3 minutes later, and then we get a coach about like 8 minutes later, and it's all packaged up. It's all done within maybe 20, 25 minutes of the end of the game.
And it's Doug that comes out. It's the head coach.
It's the head coach that comes out. Yeah. And like the reason why it's done so quickly is because there's a broadcast partner that's waiting for these guys to come and talk so they can use that as part of the post-game show,
mm-hmm.
right? So these things are supposed to happen within like the 30-minute period. Mm-hmm. We waited and it had to be like 45 minutes. Then they came in and said, hey, we just opened the locker room. I race over to the locker room. Sean had already left, went to the locker room. Me and Brendan went over to the locker room. And out of nowhere, DeMar and Zach and Domas come in and they say, oh, Malik is going to the press conference room right now. So me and Brendan turn around. Had another camera person there, so he was covered.
That's good.
We turned around and tried to make it back. By the time we got back to the press conference room, Malik was already done. A minute. Like, so we missed Malik. Then
it's not far from the locker room to the press conference room.
It's a couple of hundred yards. Well, maybe 150 yards.
Right.
Like down the hallway. And like, yeah. It takes time, right?
Okay.
So anyway, we get back. We're like, oh, well, that's a bummer. So then we're like, okay, should we go back to the locker room? Should we not? And then we just sat there and waited and waited and waited. And it was well over an hour after the game. And then finally Doug came out and we could tell like something had happened. And even when I was in the locker room, to see Domas and DeMar and Zach LaVine walk in together was odd. Still in
uniform.
That's
really strange.
We're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't ever happen where we walk in the locker room and those three come in. Like, Domas has his whole treatment plan where he's on ice forever and, mm-hmm. like, whatever. So, we go back. We talk to Doug. Clearly, Doug is furious. Like, I've known Doug a long time. He's, like, off the charts angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a really, really interesting post game. Like, mm-hmm. very interesting. And some of the things that Doug said in the post game were just, like, oh, boy. Like, because I asked him straight up, like, about the exact... Like
yeah,
the rotations and the offensive motion. What happened to the flow? What happened to the two-man game?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to all these things? He's like, they're just not doing it. It's all still there. All of those components that we have as a team are still in place. That is our offense. That is our defense. They are still there. The players just, they're not getting into their offensive flow. Everybody's standing around. I don't know.
Right? That sounds. I want you to keep going, but I would like to pause there for a moment. That sounds like some of the problems Mike Brown had.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we've got these principles in place. We're coaching it this way. They're just not doing it.
This was the first time that Doug let that, the negativity of it, yes, seep in.
Yes.
By easily the first time that he had said a lot of what Mike had started saying. Like, Mike had got to a point where it's just like, hey, I've been throwing the team under the bus as a whole. That's not working. Now I'm going to start backing up over individual players. Hey, De'Aaron Fox, come on out here.
Yeah.
I'm going to run you over in postgame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to make a mistake like you did against Detroit and cost us a basketball game because you fell asleep after we had the conversation? That's not okay.
Yeah.
So, like, all of these things we've seen
play out.
And then
De'Aaron got him fired.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
No.
You did not. Go ahead. Sorry.
Doug, late in the postgame, he said something that I thought was he said, we have to want to win more than we want to breathe, and that ain't it. Like, what we saw on the court is like, that ain't it. Like, whatever that was out there, that ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
And we owe our fans more than that. We owe the people of Sacramento more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't represent people like that. And, you know, Brendan asked a question late in the press conference, and Doug looked at him and said, like, you weren't here when I played here, right? And Brendan's like, no. I mean, Brendan was like...
Brendan was not alive.
Like five. Like maybe three. And he's like, that's not how I represented this city. And that's not how we represented this city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what my team is going to do. If that's how we're... Then I'll find other players. Other players will play. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, we play a certain way or you don't play at all. You know? And I know people in, like, I saw in the chat, someone said, oh, the Jake LaRavia honeymoon is over. No, Jake LaRavia played exactly how Doug Christie wanted him to. Was it perfect? No. But Jake LaRavia played his ass off.
Yep.
Hustled. Ran all over the court. Did everything that he could to be disruptive. Then he got to a play where he had the ball at the top of the key. Four guys out.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would move. And he had to try to attack the middle. And then he's turning around like, why is everybody standing there? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? And eventually they took the ball from him and it's like, oh, Jake LaRavia, you screwed. No, Jake LaRavia didn't screw that up. The other four guys standing around watching screwed the whole play up.
Yeah.
It was just really weird to watch. And you're watching a team literally just like deer in the headlights on the court. Really strange.
So what did you make of, so Chris Haynes reported on Saturday
morning
that Doug Christie had a meeting with the starters, and that was why you saw Domas and DeRozan and Zach LaVine walk in together. It's why Malik was so late to the podium. It's why Doug was so late to the podium, because they had this meeting. I want to get your thoughts on this, because that to me is Doug doing whatever he can. He feels like he's losing some kind of control here. And this is his, I don't want to say last ditch effort, but this is an effort to rein everything in and try and get his arms around something that he might not be able to corral.
I think it was interesting that it wasn't a team meeting. It wasn't a players only meeting.
Right.
It was very specific. He pulled the five starters into a room.
After one game
after the All-Star break. And absolutely laid into them. Like, it was about accountability. It's like, like, hey, I don't know what you guys need to do to figure this out, but it's on you. Figure it out. You guys are all pros. You're all very good players, and you're the leaders of this group, and if you can't figure it out, then no one else can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, figure out how to be good teammates on the court. Like, they're not bad teammates to each other off the court.
Sure.
On the court, like, I swear, when we have discussions on this and like when me and Kenny go at it, I feel like we watch a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had the game where DeMar missed seven consecutive shots to end the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, but like he wanted an eighth consecutive shot, but Zach LaVine went into his area and DeMar didn't listen and just kept bringing his guy right in, and Zach lost the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, that's his fault. And I'm like, no, that's not. At a certain point, you don't get to just shoot your team out of a game and lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the times that DeMar's saved them and shot them into games, which, again, he was so good early in that game, there has to be realization of like, it doesn't matter how many points you score. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about your points per game. It's not about your shot attempts. How do we win as a group?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're at. It's like they have to figure out ways in order to support each other, and they just aren't there yet. And not only that, but like I always talk about the Kawhi Leonard thing. Like the reason why you want Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk in the two-man game is not, it's not so Domas gets a bunch of points and Malik gets a bunch of assists.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's devastating to the other team. They cannot mm-hmm. stop it at all. And mm-hmm. it gets one of your best, most efficient scorers at the rim scoring a highly efficient bucket,
mm-hmm.
right? It also collapses a defense, so now everybody else on the perimeter is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you do those things.
You're forcing the defense to react.
Yes.
Which they don't have to do when it's, all right, clear out, he's on an island.
Yeah.
They might throw a double at it. But I don't know how many different ways we can say like, hey, whatever version of the offense the Kings are running
mm-hmm.
is just not a sustainable path to success. I get they have a lot of guys who are incredibly talented individual scorers. And when Malik Monk gets cooking or Zach LaVine gets cooking or DeMar DeRozan gets cooking, it is super fun to watch. Like, no doubt. Watching DeMar DeRozan just amble to his favorite spots and then turn around and no matter how good the contest is, knock down the shot. It's like, man, that's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it's also not conducive to winning. Like, it's not a coincidence that DeMar DeRozan hasn't been to the finals a bunch of times. And it's not a coincidence that Zach LaVine's been to the playoffs, what, once?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That style of basketball just doesn't really work, man.
No, I get it. But I also, like, when you're watching them play, there is a way in which you can make it work. But everybody has to give something of themselves. Everybody has to, like, take a step back and say,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't matter, like, whether I'm scoring or not. Is my scoring helping the team improve?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where you're having guys like force shots because they haven't seen the ball in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're having guys turn the ball over because they're pushing things the wrong way. Like, I think there is a way out of this. Like, I do. And
okay.
like, whether it's changing the rotation or changing the lineup or mm-hmm. like, I do think that there's a way out of this. I just think that right now it's really, really difficult to like see the forest through the trees for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have players who've been in the league forever and do specific things, their default settings are to get their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to get away from. Like, the default settings of this team have to be reset. And that's why, you know, Doug said, like, look, we had a moment when, like, he took over the team
mm-hmm.
and where I pulled everybody in and we got back to basics and this is who we are and how we're going to handle this. And I said, well, like, are you going to need to do that again? And he said, yeah, I mean, because my team is completely different than it was 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
You know, or a month ago when he took mm-hmm. over the team, 2 months now. Like, it's a totally different group, and now we have all these pieces that work together differently. And it's not just that, you know, like, player X is new and player Y is new. It's that how do they work with the players that are already there?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes extremely difficult. And that's why, like, having a next man up mentality is so difficult to develop. And the yeah. Kings aren't there yet. They aren't there yet. Doug Christie's system isn't there yet. Jay Triano's offense, it's not there yet, where you can just plug and play different types mm-hmm. of players. And if you're going to do that, you have to get similar styles of players that you can plug and play into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what they have.
No. We're going to learn a lot about Doug Christie and the Kings tonight. Whatever that meeting was with the starters, Doug was optimistic, it sounded like, after practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Said you're starting to see the light bulb go on. The guys are communicating more. They're correcting each other. They're calling out mistakes. Like, okay, that's great. If there was a time that things were going to click and you were going to have a light bulb come on and you were just going to look better, it's in a game like tonight against a 14-win Hornets team that just lost to the Blazers by 43.
Mm.
Lost to the Blazers by more than 40 points. Like, and if you come out flat in this spot again, after this meeting with the starters where you get yelled at, then I don't know what we're doing here.
It would be a tough look, that's for sure.
I'm hoping that there is a performance tonight. In fact, let's dive into tonight's game coming up here in a bit. But I'm hoping there's a performance tonight that provides reasons for more optimism moving forward. I think there will be, but we'll get into Kings Hornets at Golden 1 Center tonight coming up in a bit. We'll also look, the Kings didn't play last night. They got a little bit of help, and we'll tell you how. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. James is over there. I'm Kyle. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Kings taking on the Hornets tonight. We're going to try and look forward a little bit. We spend a lot of time on the Insiders from 10 a.m. to noon discussing kind of what's been going wrong, what we think is going wrong. So let's just focus on tonight's game because this is a gettable game.
Yeah.
I think.
Doug Christie said this weekend it's got to be one possession at a time. Mm-hmm. One quarter at a time, one game at a time, and that's how the team has to focus. Mm-hmm. One practice at a time. That one day this weekend they worked on offense, one day they worked on defense, just trying to get their back to their basics and shore up some of the things that have gone wrong, mm-hmm. especially with all the new players. So this is now we get to see what they look like with four practices over a 5-day period.
Man, I hope it's better.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just a spot where you have a 14-41 team coming into Golden 1 Center.
They're so bad.
They're really bad. You pointed this out today.
So weird.
They're in the midst of a 9-game road trip.
Yes.
That started pre-All-Star break, cut off at the break, and then started again post-All-Star break.
Yeah, so they had 3 games on the road before the All-Star break. Then they got back from the break, and they have 6 straight on the road. I've never seen a 9-game. I mean, maybe the San Antonio Spurs play close to an 8 or 9-game road trip every year because
of the rodeo.
The rodeo, mm-hmm. right? So that's a little bit different, but to me, this is wild to see a team that, like, they got to go home and maybe practice a little bit before they hit the road again, and here they are. In the midst, they're game 7 of the 9-game road trip.
Man.
Yeah.
That's tough. That feels like the league knew exactly what they were getting from the Hornets. And they're like, yeah, just do that. Whatever. The problem is the Hornets beat the Lakers coming out of the break. Beat them 103-100 down at Crypto Staples. So this is a team that can punch you in the mouth. But at the same time, you watch them go beat by an salute to the Chatty House. I corrected my math here. Their 53-point loss against Portland a couple nights ago.
Yikes.
And so I look and I've ridded myself of the idea that the Kings are going to blow somebody out. If it happens, great. That's what I think needs to happen tonight. If they're going to get on the same page, they're going to get on this right track, they're going to start playing better. It's like there needs to be urgency tonight.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be fewer turnovers tonight. There needs to be more hustle defensively tonight, especially in transition. Like those, there. It just, this is a perfect spot where if you need to just look better, and you need to put together a positive game.
Yes.
You don't need to play over your heads. You don't need to play an A++ game. Like when you play OKC, if you want to win that game, you have to play A++. Tonight, you can give me a B and go win. I'd prefer an A. But you can give me a B performance and go win tonight.
Yeah. This is a team that doesn't force a ton of turnovers, which the Kings of course struggle with. They're a team that that doesn't shoot the ball well from 3.
From 2.
34.3% on the season from 3, even though they take the 6 most attempts. They're just mad chuckers.
Just throw it at the rim, dude.
They are just mad chuckers. They also, Kyle, do you see this? They're 27th in 3-point percentage. 2-point percentage?
30th.
They're even worse.
They're last.
They're last.
They are bad at taking the ball away and bad at putting the ball in the hoop from whatever level, from any level. And I also think they have one of the lowest free throw attempt rates in the league. Like, they don't go to the free throw line.
No, they don't. They're 27th in free throw attempts on the season.
Like, dog, this is, again, the Kings have not been playing well enough for me to be like, for sure, need to go win this game by 30. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah.
It's game by game now, no matter who the opponent is. But, buddy, it's going to be really, really tough. Favored by 10.5 tonight, by the way, according to BetMGM.
Oof.
This is a really tough spot to walk in and not either win or dominate.
You really do need to dominate. You need to bring the positivity back. You need to. You got a road trip coming up again. Another, what, four-game road trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team needs some positivity. They need to. And like, I don't want to hear that, like, the negativity around the team is like, your team
impacting
should,
them?
Yeah, they should not be listening to the insiders on ESPN 1320.
Well, they should. It's a great program, but they shouldn't take like our words to heart.
But the 15 players or 17 players, like, I don't even know how many they have. They're down to 13 again. Shout out Deshaun Nix, who is no longer with the team.
Had a great run.
His 10-day expired. Yeah, they're still short, like, two roster spots. Which I don't know when they're going to fill, if they're going to fill or not. But the fact is, like, this is your group. You got to go out there and you got to play hard and you got to figure out a way to get through and you got to build some positivity. If you guys want positivity, win games or at mm-hmm. least be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, you can't have at one side say, this is unacceptable. This is an embarrassment. We can't mm-hmm. have this. And then say, hey, what's with all the negativity? Well, the negativity is warranted. It is.
Yeah,
just straight up. It's warranted. Now it's like, okay, how do you climb out of it? Show us that you can do something that, you know, like, whether we think they can do it or not. I don't know if this team can turn it around.
We said 7-4 in this 11-game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got that is a must. And you lost the first one and didn't play well in the process.
No.
It's like, all right, that's fine. Now you got to go 7-3 in your next 10. And this is a game that's like, this is the easiest game on your schedule for a while.
It's the easiest game on your schedule the rest of the season.
Is it really?
I mean, I don't think you play Washington again, do you?
No. You got Utah coming up, though.
Okay.
Although that's in Utah, so.
Okay, but still, this is a team with, well, 14 wins. So I guess there are other teams with 14 wins.
This is the problem, though. And this is where, this should not be a game where we're like, you got to go win it.
No.
Like, this should be a game where we're going, yeah, they're going to win tonight. It's just a matter of by how many. But it's like, it's just a question mark for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the Kings minus 10.5, though.
Okay.
That's a huge number.
But you know it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a trap.
Exactly.
So you take them. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
People want, the books want you to look at that and go, the Hornets are getting 10.5 points. Yeah, I'll take the 10.5 against this bad Kings team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get right tonight. The starters, it's Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis. For the Hornets, LaMelo Ball, mm-hmm. Nick Smith Jr., Josh Green, Miles Bridges, and Mark Williams. Everybody available for the Kings?
Yes.
On the injury report?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte has some big names on their injury report.
They do.
Who are they?
We've got Brandon Miller, Trey Mann, and Grant Williams are all out for the season. Josh Okogie is trying to come back from an injury, but he's missed 10 straight with a hamstring issue. So, like, this is a shorthanded team without, I don't know, their starting shooting guard, their starting small forward, and let's say their sixth man. And it's also a team that when I was writing Hornets starters, I made sure to put all the first names in there because if not, it would have been like, uh-oh, there's a bunch of Greens in the league, a bunch of Smiths in the league, a bunch of Williams in the league, even a bunch of Balls in the league. There we go. Even Bridges. There's a couple of Bridges.
Balls everywhere.
Yeah, I had to write down first and last name. It's not like we could just throw it out there. Like,
yeah.
Because I don't know that if I just put Smith Jr., you would have known it was Nick Smith Jr. and starts for
I would
them.
Have had no idea. I'd have been like, wow, Dennis, back in the league. Nice. Good for him.
You would have been like, Williams. Grant or one of the other 800 Williams. Buck Williams Grant out Williams. There. Yeah.
What so. Is what's your matchup of the game as we move along here?
You know, typically we choose a player, right? And for me, it's the Kings versus themselves. They have to find on-court chemistry. They've got to stop turning the ball over. They've got to, like, move together as one. They've got to figure out ways to play on a string. Whatever you want to call it, just get back to basics. Mm-hmm. Do some rudimentary, like, pick and rolls and DHOs and try to figure out who you are as a team and move forward together. And that's to me, I don't even care about their matchups, like who they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a couple that you're going to look at, but I don't really care. Just go out there and play your style of basketball. Figure it out.
If you play a quality game, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I came up with one. LaMelo and Keon is the one, because LaMelo is just the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm.
He might go for 30 and 12. And if that happens, it might get interesting. But if you shut the faucet off there, he's going to get his points. He's going to get his assists. Like, he's a really talented player. But it's just, if you can make him inefficient in the process, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would be the one matchup to watch. And, you know, if you can get past that one, I think you're all right.
Can you real quick explain to me what the Kings and Ticketmaster are doing with it? This is such a cool thing.
This is the coolest thing ever. They partnered, the Sacramento Kings and Ticketmaster have partnered with One Court to enhance accessibility for blind and low vision fans. We saw this with a fan in Portland.
Yes.
There's a haptic device that literally, like, has bumps that raise up and show them where the ball is moving back and forth.
Yes.
It's got the score on one side that they can reach with their fingers and, like, tell the score. Absolutely amazing. The video from the dude in Portland, like, almost makes you cry. Like, how many times he has to ask his friend what the score is,
yeah,
like, during a game, and now he doesn't have to anymore. And that you can, like, trace back and forth just how fast the ball moves and everything.
Yeah.
When it goes into the basket, it vibrates twice. The basket vibrates twice. So, like, really, really cool stuff here. And they announced this morning that the Kings are also partnering with the same group to do this, to bring it to Golden One.
Every arena should have this.
Every
it
arena
is
should have
amazing
it.
Technology. Yeah. And really cool that the Kings are joining the Blazers and bringing this to Golden One Center. So salute to the Sacramento Kings. All right. We'll try and come up with some keys to victory here in a little bit. That's James. I'm Kyle. Big game tonight against the Hornets. Golden One Center. Can't wait for it. We'll have keys to victory for you coming up in a bit. Right here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader. I step aside and we'll talk more basketball in a little bit. All right. 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And they will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. A big shout out to Jiffy Lube, who sponsors the show. Thank you, everybody, listening on ESPN 1320 AM. Everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Or maybe you're listening to the podcast of James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, the podcast version of this show. However you listen or watch the program, we appreciate you immensely. The Kings didn't play last night. But they did get a little bit of help, and here's how. So, Golden State beat the heck out of the Mavericks, 126-102 the final there. The Kings are now a full game and a half back of Golden State. They're two back of the Mavs, though. So, again, striking distance. You win a few in a row, you're right back in the mix. The Clippers also lost, so dropping that threshold for the number six seed. They lost 129-111. To the Indiana Pacers. The Timberwolves lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 130-123, the final there. Minnesota just two games up on the Kings. So again, this is where, if you're looking for some optimism and some silver linings, man, if they do figure this thing out, even they don't even need to get to their ceiling. if they just get up off whatever their floor is that they're currently at, like, man, you're win 6 out of 8 and you're maybe in the 7 seed and everything looks way different.
Yeah, I think this thing can take care of itself, right? Actually,
fingers crossed.
I think either way it will, whether it's winning or losing. Like, we'll know pretty quickly whether this, yep, whether they're going to be in it, whether they're going to have a shot at fighting through,
mm-hmm,
or whether they're a team that's just imploding and we're going to, like, see how it all pans out in the end. But, like, you know, you're talking about a lottery team again, and yeah, it's a mess.
So I don't know that they'll, I mean, maybe, who knows down the stretch, but they would have to implode pretty badly because the Spurs also lost last night to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Got smoked by New Orleans. 114-96 was the final there. The Spurs are now 3.5 games back of Sacramento, and they just lost Victor Wembanyama for the year.
Mm.
I don't think there's a run coming from San Antonio. Like, even less than I did before.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that they do have going for them is that you play them coming up, mm-hmm, you know, De'Aaron Fox is going to return to Sacramento here in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that they're at a very, very close point where, you know, you're probably looking at shutting down Fox at any point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lost, again, you brought up the score, 114-96. In that game, De'Aaron Fox shot 3 of 16 from the field and 1 of 7 from three.
Ugh.
He scored 13 points. He had 7 rebounds and 5 assists, but yeah, that pinky, one way or another, has to have surgery on the pinky this summer. In addition to De'Aaron Fox going 3 of 16, Chris Paul went 1 of 10, and Devin Vassell went 1 of 9 in the starting.
Golly. Game.
Yeah, so those three guys,
yes, man,
shot 4 for 35, 5 for 35. You're not going to win any games when that happens, when three of your starters do that.
Yeah.
So, like, look, I think that team is going to have a tough time scraping and staying in it, right? But that's where the Kings, like, the advantage is. Like, you do have some teams down below you that don't really want to be in there,
yep,
that aren't in it to win it. And you're wondering whether the Suns are one of those teams or not. And that's the one team that I circle and say, okay, there's a team that's going to catch them, it's the Suns. Mm-hmm. But then
they lost to the Raptors last night, 127-109.
So the answer is probably
lost
not.
Three in a row now?
It's probably not.
Any 3 out of 4? Yeah, Phoenix is just not playing well.
No.
The trade deadline was weird for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're only a game and a half back of Sacramento. But I don't. That's the. Could be the saving grace for the Kings.
That no one else wants it?
Is it? Yeah.
Okay.
Is it just nobody catches them? Like, no. maybe they just take ownership of the 10 seed,
mm-hmm,
and maybe that's how this season goes. I just, are the Suns going to at some point win a bunch in a row?
No, I strangely enough, I feel like Portland is the one team that has, like, outwardly said, hey, we're not tanking. We're going to try to,
yeah,
win as many games,
yeah,
as possible. And they're the one team that's kind of been like, okay, but then they just lost 4 in a row after they had won a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd strung together the stretch where they went 10-1 over 11-game stretch, and now they've lost 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, maybe that team will show up, maybe they won't, but I definitely think the Kings are in a situation where they could probably back into a play-in spot at this,
yeah,
point. It won't feel good, and it's not like you're going to do anything with that play-in spot, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah. If you make the play-in, you get hot for a couple of games, you can make the playoffs that way.
Okay.
So if anything goes.
Where OKC is waiting for you.
Right. I'm not saying they're going to go win a round, but I mean, if the Kings played, so if the standings held,
mm-hmm,
you'd have to beat Golden State, and then you'd have to beat one of Dallas or Minnesota.
Okay.
So it's, again, not something I'd probably bet on, but it's.
Yeah, I think the best thing for the Kings would be if somehow they find a way to get up to 8, so there's a possibility for them to win the first game. Move into the 7th seed.
Mm-hmm.
So where you would play Denver at this point.
Denver or Memphis, yeah.
Yeah, Denver or Memphis.
Yeah.
And I mean, at least you would have a series. Like, you might be able to go 4-2 or something. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, 2-4. I think you're going to lose either way. But at least you might win a game or two.
Yeah.
Where if you're playing OKC, I think you get swept.
We're being so optimistic. Look at us.
Yeah.
Look at us go.
There's a possibility. You were saying there's a chance. And look, hey, they just had 2 days of practice.
Yeah.
Again, four practices in the last 5 days.
Yep.
Mixed in the middle, they got clubbed by the Golden State Warriors.
That's fine.
But that's at least another day where you're actually on the court trying to work out some things. And I think if nothing else, that game against Golden State, it shined like a giant spotlight on a lot of your issues. And then you had some tough conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And those tough conversations, they have to happen. Like, it doesn't, like, this, these behind closed door meetings that somehow leak out, like, they have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to get better here and you're, like, the goal is to win, I think that that's the one thing that the Kings have going for them, that the goal is actually to win, because a lot of these other teams, their goal is not to win. And they're just going through the motions, hoping and praying that they lose games.
Yeah.
And if you're the Kings, you're like, okay, like, again, Utah's not just going to lay down. They still play. They still have veterans, but you got to go beat Utah. You got to beat Charlotte. You got to beat these teams that aren't very good.
And I'm agreeing with what you're saying. As much as I don't think the Kings have a cohesive roster, and I would not pick them to necessarily win a playoff series if they made it that far, I also don't think that this is going to get so bad that they lose 10 in a row. I think they have enough talent to be competitive on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you needed to hit that low spot against Golden State where you just got embarrassed at home. Maybe that's what they needed to wake up. But man, it's just really hard to bet on.
Yeah. I'd say
at this point,
like right now, the Kings, they're in the lottery. They're the number 13 seed.
Oof.
If their pick is top 12 protected. So yeah.
Oof. What's their biggest problem right now?
As far as the
like
team?
You have to write down a list of problems. What's number one on the list?
I think it's
like if you could snap your fingers and this thing is fixed right now.
I think it's just continuity. Like that's the biggest thing. Like the players don't know how to play together. And again, people can say, well, you know, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan played together for the last, you know, three years in Chicago. They know how to play together. But that doesn't mean that they know how to play with Malik Monk and with Domantas Sabonis and with Keegan Murray and with Jake LaRavia and with Jonas Valanciunas and all and Trey Lyles. Like there is a disconnect. Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Like there, you have to figure out how to like not be selfish, and then other times be selfish, but have it be selfish in the right way. And I don't think that this team right now, they don't have a voice on the court that is willing to put someone else in check and say, hey, look, we're doing something else now. Because, like, we've talked about this so many times. Like, the Kings have a basic offense, right? And they run their sets. But there's not a ton of play calls that are being made by the coaching staff. Like, there are certain play calls that a point guard is doing, like Malik Monk. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But overall, as a team, because the speed they want to play at, it's really like read and react. But it's within a system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the players don't know the basics of the system. And so hopefully after this like stretch of practice, they're going to have a better idea of that. But I also think that they probably went through practice at the end of the All-Star break. They had those two practices. And they probably went through like, hey, let's do this and this and this. They're working on some specific things. They get to the Golden State game and realize that, oh, no. We can't add in more now. We need to back up. We need to go back to, like, very rudimentary. Like, here is what you do. This is where you go. Now let's get into some sort of flow and then start building it from there. You know, each week you add another element or two, or some of the players that have been there together, they might be able to add an element that's different and, you know, and like just a group of three of them on the court. But overall, I think Doug is looking at everything possible right now, including lineup changes. Like sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to back up.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that backing up process is to go, okay, the one ingredient could be not like the play sets are too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The player that I'm putting in that play set is too complicated.
Sure.
So I need to pull that player out and I need to put in a player who's less complicated as a player. Keon Ellis is very, like, he's easy to fit into every puzzle. And he is because he shoots the ball when it gets passed to him.
Does it confidently.
He does. And he plays really good defense and he's switchable and everything else. So there isn't a bunch of crazy stuff he's doing. Now, do you lose a secondary ball handler? Yeah, you do, which is something that this team may or may not need. I don't know. Whether it's DeMar DeRozan going to the bench or it's Malik Monk or it's Zach LaVine, like whatever it is, I think there is a possibility that we see them strip it down. And I would like start with Malik Monk and Keon Ellis in the backcourt, flip a coin on who's going to start the small forward spot. And then, you know, Domas and Keegan, because that is at least four players that know how to play together. And then when you add in the other pieces, there is a flow that's already happening. And so you're not asking players to like develop some sort of system together. Mm-hmm. They're just filling in for the guy that just went out of the game.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The thing I would fix is the turnover stuff, man. They're turning it over a lot. And that to me, you had 24 against Golden State, 15 before that, 11, 21, 18, 11, 19, and 12. So not all terrible.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the game that they had 11, they had 10 in the first half.
Right.
And then they had a coming to Jesus talk at halftime and stopped turning the ball over.
Yeah.
But you can't keep having that talk every game.
Right.
It's just like the players eventually, like, they tune it out. They're not listening to that specific thing.
Yeah. I think if they're not turning the ball over, I think it's a sign of more cohesion offensively. Because there's a couple of games where it's just guy cuts the wrong way or doesn't cut when a player thinks he's going to, or trying to fit a pass into a window that, like, okay, nope, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not, you know, just learning each other, learning the intricacies of what each player does on offense. And I think if you're solving that, you're solving the scoring stuff.
Yep.
But B, you're also solving a lot of their defensive issues.
Yeah.
Where you mentioned it earlier, when they're turning the ball over on offense or they're not knocking down shots on offense, you see it start to impact their defense. Like you feel it, like comes through the screen or comes off the floor.
Yeah, they're not even giving us an opportunity to say that their defense is horrible.
Yeah, right.
It's not. I mean, like, again, the Warriors game, what do they have? Fast break points. 17 fast break points for the Warriors. But again, it's the points off a turnover. So even if it's not a fast break point, it's still transition offense. It's still getting into somebody else is getting into their offense and scoring on you before you're established and set up. Mm-hmm. And there's just no way to win doing that. Like, and I'd say the Kings even, they shot 50.6% from the field in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had 26 assists in that game against the Warriors. But you can't survive with 24 turnovers. And like 19 of them were in actual gameplay, not like the last 6 minutes or eight minutes when they brought in a bunch of players that, you know, hadn't played together. I mean, Markelle Fultz ends up having like three turnovers late in the game.
Right.
Like those aren't the turnovers you're worried about. The turnovers you're worried about are the 19 that happen, you know, between in the first like 40 minutes of the game.
Their turnover rate since the trade deadline is last in the NBA. 16.5%.
Yeah.
Their assist to turnover ratio is 1.58. That is second to last.
It's just
in the NBA.
Crazy.
Just stop giving the ball away. You solve a lot of your issues.
Yeah. Well, that and, like, I'll say, like, some of the turnovers are, like, so specific. Like, you're watching Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis trying to do their pick and roll from the left side, not the right side.
Right.
And, again, we talked about that, how Malik loves to drop the right hand to the left of Sabonis. Yeah. Tough.
We'll keep this conversation going because I don't think the Kings' problems are going away overnight. Maybe they will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about keys to victory for the Kings tonight, and then we'll have the handoff coming up in about half an hour. More, closer to half an hour than 20 minutes. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
home.
All right, James is there. I'm Kyle. Kings, Hornets, tonight, Golden 1 Center. You have to win this game.
Yeah, I don't want to know what tomorrow's show is like if they don't win this game.
Buddy. Same. You got it.
That would be not fun.
It would not be a good time.
Yeah.
My hope for tonight, and we'll have keys to victory here. So if the Kings are listening, which we established earlier that they are, if they follow our steps, they're cruising. And that would be a much more enjoyable program than, oh my God, they lost to the Hornets.
Yep.
And it's all about the urgency for me, man. Like, we're talking about that a little bit at the break. That's just... in fact, you know what? I'm going to start keys today. You usually start keys. I'll start keys today.
We'll just mix it up.
Because number one for me is act like you need it.
Mm.
Play with the appropriate force. Play with the appropriate urgency. I know New Orleans stinks. Excuse me. Charlotte. I know that Charlotte stinks. I'm there. The Kings are at least one, maybe two tiers above them. Treat this game like it's game seven of the finals.
Oh, yeah.
Boston, Charlotte, Washington, OKC, doesn't matter. This tonight needs to be played by the Sacramento Kings as though their entire season rides on this game, because it kind of feels like it does.
To be honest with you, it probably does. Like, the numbers, like, down the stretch, like, if you don't win games against 14-win teams, you literally have twice as many wins as this team. You're underperforming, and you have twice as many wins on the season as this team.
Yep.
They have 14. You have 28.
They have 14 wins. 1-4.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's really bad. And a bunch of their good players are out. Mark Williams, apparently out tonight.
Oh, Mark Williams is out now, too? Yeah,
not a stunner.
All right.
Happens a lot.
It does. But it's a shame that, like, they...
Probably Yusuf Nurkic starting.
They bounced his medical there in L.A. But... Tough. Here he is not being able to play. Okay.
You got just, I need to, I would love to see them come out and throw haymakers early and then keep throwing haymakers and just give us a 48-minute sample of, like, hey, here's the good version of this team. Number one for you.
Stop turning the ball over.
Please.
Just so basic. Like, it is. Like, if you want to, it doesn't matter what level of basketball you play at. If you don't turn the ball over, you got a good shot at winning. I mean, it is what it, even if you're not making a bunch of shots, this team's one of the better rebounding teams in the league. That doesn't even matter. Just stop turning the ball over. And if you do turn it over, get back. Don't compound your mistake by dropping your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see it all the time in like soccer. The worst thing you can do is miss a shot on goal and then stand there with your head down. The ball goes back to the other side. Then you're offsides the whole time because you got your head down and you didn't go get back. Like, get back, play. And that's where this team really has to figure it out. Like, you turned it over again. Okay, go get it back. Go fight. Show something.
Yeah.
And, like, it's pretty rudimentary, but this team does need to figure that out.
Yeah, and it's the ones, if Zach LaVine fakes like he's going to cut and then doesn't, and Malik throws a bounce pass to where he was going to cut, hey, you know what? You can get that figured out. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, here's kind of the little head signal I use, whatever it is. Like, that you can it's the ones where they're just throwing it over somebody's head, or the pass is down at their feet, or they throw it into traffic, where it's like, that's a preventable play.
On time and on target. Doug keeps saying it. On time and on target. That's what your pass should be.
Yep. Yep.
Like, the game of basketball has a rhythm.
Yep.
Like, find the rhythm of the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two, don't stop moving on offense. Charlotte's defense is not terrible. Just get some motion going offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop the standing around. I don't care if it's one person dribbling the air out of the ball. Just make sure there's constant movement. That's my second.
Got to stop watching.
You have enough guys who can put the ball in the hoop that you're going to score.
Yep.
Just don't want the stand and watch.
Brutal stuff.
Number two.
Get back to basics on both ends of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basics. Just do the basics. Don't try anything crazy. Just get into basic pick and rolls. Get into basic DHOs. Just move. Circle through the key. Get to the other corner. Everyone rotates over. Like, Doug said that there were a couple of times where he's like, we had three guys on one side of the court. He's like, there are even times where we had four guys on one side of the court. He's like, you know how many play sets we have where four guys are supposed to be on one side of the court?
Zero?
Zero is the answer. Just get back to basics. Like, we don't even know what this team looks like defensively because they're caught in transition. They're turning the ball over too much. Like, give yourself an opportunity by relying on the basics of the game.
The line has ticked a point towards the Kings, by the way. They're now favored by 11.5.
I think it's because you talked about
it. I'm taking that, too.
You're taking that,
too. Give me all. I will give all 11.5 points.
All right.
Number three for me, ours are a little bit related.
Okay.
So what is your number three?
My number three is make someone other than LaMelo Ball beat you.
I agree with that.
Yep.
I'm on the same page. But at the same time, you can't let Miles Bridges start getting downhill.
Mm.
Because that is a big athletic dude that you're going to have a hard time guarding.
Yep.
And if you're doubling LaMelo and it gets to Miles Bridges, he can get downhill and do some damage. And all of a sudden, they're going to the free throw line. And all of a sudden, you're in foul trouble. And all of a sudden, the spray threes are available. And this bad three-point shooting team is all of a sudden making 17 threes.
This is a game, realistically, where if you were ever going to make a change in the starting lineup, that Keon Ellis defending LaMelo Ball and Keegan Murray defending Miles Bridges would be like, that would be playing to your strength.
Correct.
And helping your team.
Correct.
Whether that's going to happen or not, I have no idea.
I would be stunned.
Well,
I think Doug did the meeting with the starters as a, like, this is your last chance, and then we're going to make some changes. So you go out, you win this one, and like, oh, okay, we're good. Everything's settled now. And you can kick the hard conversation with a Hall of Famer for the $43 million guy or the sixth man who is now starting, going back to the bench. It's a hard conversation with either one of those three guys.
Yep.
But you get to kick the can down the road.
I get that. But at the same time, like, what is it if you beat Charlotte and then you beat Utah? Is that really what you need to see? I mean, you have to have those wins, but that doesn't prove anything.
But it allows you to go, if you get asked, it allows you to go, well, we've won, like, we're starting to win.
Yep.
That's all that matters. That W on the left side of the ledger. W for the Kings. It's all that matters.
That does.
So, got to go get a win tonight, man. I think they do. I'm taking I said 11.5, Kings minus 11.5.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do some quick math here. Kings 121, Hornets 107. 121-107.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say like 124-109.
All right. We both have them covering the 11.5.
Yeah.
Probably going to regret that tomorrow, but whatever. Can't wait to break it down on the Insider starting at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento sports leader. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Can't wait. Kings Hornets tonight. We'll dive into that with you tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento sports leader. I remember what I wanted to ask you about. Putting the pin in the Kings stuff real quick. Joel Embiid is getting a second opinion on his knee problem that has been injured since last year, and then he played in the Olympics this summer, and they also gave him a three-year, $280 million extension.
$1 trillion.
Whatever, whatever the insane number was. You asked the question, are we watching the beginning of the end for a former MVP? I think we watched it in the playoffs last year.
Watching
him drag himself around the court.
Yeah.
Like, doing whatever he could to get a win. This is not a knock on Joel Embiid. He was toughing it out. He wanted to be out there for his team. He was dealing with whatever the disease he had.
Guillain-Barré, right? Didn't he have something with Bell's palsy?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it was that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also had the knee thing. He's dragging himself around the court. He's like, man, what? And he goes out and he plays in the Olympics and he wins a gold medal and he has a huge game in the gold medal. He's like, man, look at Joel Embiid. Shout out, dude. And now he's having second opinions on his knee to see if he needs to have surgery and be done with the year. This is what needed to happen before the year started.
Yeah.
Philly needed to pull the plug on this season ASAP.
Well, they shouldn't have gone out and got Paul George. They should have. They should have done something like tried to trade him before this happened. I do like. I went to his basketball reference page.
Yeah,
he has a nickname on here that just absolutely makes me crack up.
Okay,
the Phantom of the Process.
Not one person's ever called him that. I would love to know. I know a guy who does comms for the sports reference sites.
Okay.
I'm reaching out to him today after our show, and I'm finding out what goes into, what's the nickname threshold?
Okay.
I have to know. Phantom of the Process?
It's amazing, though. I mean, I find it hilarious.
Is it because he wore the mask?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
so someone's fun Twitter joke turns into his nickname on Basketball Reference.
Well, he has like six nicknames.
Right.
He has JoJo, the Process.
The 180?
Do a 180.
Do a 180. That's it.
Troll, like Troel, like Joel. And then Big Fella, which I like.
Big Fella?
Yeah.
He does not get to claim Big Fella.
No.
He doesn't get big.
I don't know.
Get that.
Somebody needs to clean this up. They need to clean up his...
You do not get to own that nickname. That is just what every large person is called.
Oh, my gosh.
Just,
I'm just, like, his prime, which, like, lasted...
Oh, they're a big fella. Like, that doesn't mean I'm talking to Joel Embiid.
Yeah. His prime lasted, like, 4 years. And just gone. Like, it's a bummer because he's fun, and he's so talented, and he's such a character... But my goodness, he's 30 years old. He's almost 31. He's averaging 23.8 and 8.2 rebounds this season. He's only played 19 games.
Man.
It's an absolute disaster. He's shooting 30%, 29.9% from three. Like, all of it is a disaster. Now, check this out, Kyle. He makes $51.4 million this year. He makes $55.2 next year. He makes $59.5 the year after that. 64.3 the year after that.
Oh my God.
And the year after that, Kyle, in 28-29, when Joel Embiid will be like 47, he's making $69 million. Oh my goodness. So we're looking at his 32, 33, 34, and 35 season for a guy with bad back, knees, bad feet.
It's why I don't understand why they tried to play him this year. Like, you've paid him so much. You are investing so much of your future in him. Why does this year matter? Pull the plug. Go get surgery. Go get whatever you need. Get your time off. We're going to stink this year. We're going to be in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes, and we're going to try and revamp this thing overnight. I don't get why they're forcing him to play. Over or under 100 games for the rest of Joel Embiid's career?
Under.
I think I'd lean under too.
Yeah.
He might get there just by virtue of playing a bunch of years and playing 20 games.
He's got four more years. He's under contract.
Four more years, so 25 games a year?
Yeah. I don't know. It's such a bummer because he's such a talented player. And again, a lot of it's like he's such a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to see him in the game. You want to see him around the game. And when he's great, he's just amazing. But watching him last year was like, oh, his whole body's falling apart.
And just watching him right now. Like you said, when his MVP year, he was just unbelievable. 33 points a game. Before the year before that, he was 30.6. The year before that, he was 28.5. Scoring at all three levels, like just a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not that anymore.
Nope.
And I don't know that a person his size, with his injury history, mind you, remember, he made his debut in the 2016-17 season. He was drafted in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
He missed the first 2 years because of injury.
Yeah, and then he only played 31 games his rookie season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Career high 68 games played in the 21-22 season when he was 27 years old.
That 2014 draft was not good. That was not a good draft. I remember, like, teams are like, okay, should we move up just to take Embiid? Because, well, it actually ends up having some...
Embiid was sick at Kansas, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, Andrew Wiggins, okay, carved out a nice little career. Jabari Parker, Kings legend, no.
Out of the league.
Joel Embiid, hurt. Aaron Gordon has carved out, a nice role.
Yeah, yeah.
Dante Exum, still in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Flying around for the Mavs right now.
Marcus Smart, Julius Randle, but Nick's
not a bad draft.
Nick Stauskas, number 8, Noah Vonleh at number 9. Wow. Elfrid Payton at number 10, Doug McDermott at 11. Dario, man, that draft went. Oh, look, there's Zach LaVine at 13.
There's so many just like quality players here.
Yeah. I was thinking the previous draft. It's my bad. The previous draft is one of the worst drafts of all time. It's Anthony Bennett, number 1, Victor Oladipo at 2, Otto Porter at 3, Cody Zeller at 4, Alex Lynn at 5, Nerlens Noel at 6.
Golly.
Ben McLemore at 7, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 8, then Trey Burke, and then you get CJ McCollum, Michael Carter-Williams, Steven Adams.
God. Olenek. Michael Carter-Williams, one of the weirdest careers of all time.
And then, Giannis at 15.
Jeez.
Whoops, missed that one. Everyone.
All right, man. We'll see. What games matter for the Kings tonight? Should we be scoreboard watching, or should we just worry about the Kings?
No, we cannot.
I'm gonna scoreboard watch. I'm scoreboard watching.
You cannot scoreboard watch.
No, to hell with you guys. I'm scoreboard watching. games that matter for the Kings tonight. The Los Angeles Clippers are at the Detroit Pistons. My Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
So the Kings, of course, rooting for the Clippers to lose that one. And then Minnesota's at OKC. You were hoping Minnesota loses as well. Again, the hope here being, all right, let's say they start figuring it out and start winning some games. You want to be able to make up some ground. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be locked in in a battle with the Warriors for who's going to host that 9-10 play-in game. You want to try and move up, so you need teams like the Clippers and Minnesota to lose some games here. There you go. Here's your scoreboard watching.
There it is.
I'm going to be dialed.
I'll get some help.
That Clips-Pistons game is going to be on my television for sure.
All right.
I'm fired up. Can't wait. Also, quick note, RIP to one of my favorite stats of the NBA season. If you follow this program, you know that I've been obsessed with the Washington Wizards because they are historically bad this year.
Mm-hmm.
They finally have a one-possession loss on their schedule. It's big time. Big time for the Wizards. On February 21st, the streak ended. It was their 47th loss of the year and their first loss by one possession. They fell to the Milwaukee Bucks 104-101.
Oof.
This is just the kind of culture that's created when you bring in players like Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton. They're going to take you from 20-point losses to 3-point losses.
That's right.
Congratulations to the Washington Wizards and RIP to my favorite stat of the NBA season. All right, we got the handoff coming up. Damian Barling's going to join us. D'Lo and KC, they're going to rock with you from noon to 4. He'll join us here in a couple of minutes. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. I said here too many times, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D'Lo, Damian Barling.
Yeah! It's been a while since we got to use that one.
How's it going, man?
Has it really? Turn the mic on, stupid.
I just forget that we have these buttons.
Oh.
Anyways, I was at home all last week, so.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Very true.
I was going to say,
I was in here a lot last week, but that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, so we couldn't do the button.
Got you.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing okay.
Feeling better?
Yeah. Physically feeling a lot better. R.E., the Kings, not feeling great.
Mentally broken.
But, yeah, mentally shattered.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more devastated.
Yeah.
No, man. It's just like trying to find like reasons for optimism moving forward here. Mm-hmm. Like that's...
There aren't any.
I'm gonna
play the game for the next month and a half. Like, I want them to do well. I want them to win games. Like, I hope that they can. I'm not going to go so far as to say I'm going to be surprised every time they win a game. They're not at like a this isn't the Washington Wizards here.
Right.
But in terms of being a basketball team that has like there's so many things that feel wrong. And time can fix this. Great. So are we looking to like next November, October? Because especially what we saw Friday, getting that corrected, that wasn't like, oh man, they're not quite there yet. It's like, did you just learn how to play basketball? Like this, like some of the Domas DeMar turnovers were crazy.
Yeah.
Like the one is sticking out in my head because Jake and the crew at CBS was rerunning it while we were talking last night, and it's they're trying to run like a pick and roll, and DeMar runs and Domas leads him, and like DeMar stops it's one of the 4 million turnovers that they had on Friday, and it's like time fixes that,
yeah,
practice fixes that, okay, I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the 23 other ones?
Yeah.
What fix it? Because you just get, Steph didn't go off. You know, you didn't have a Draymond, 5 3-pointer game. You didn't have anything like that. You gave them so many possessions in the Warriors, yep, regardless of them being, a championship level team, or that is a championship experienced team.
Sure.
And mm-hmm, you give them the ball that many times, they're going to make you pay for it. 36 points off. I don't know that I've ever seen a number
38.
Like that. I don't think I've seen that number either. That is insane.
38-5.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. I don't feel great. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, this team sucks every day for 4 hours. That's not what I'm going to do. But I'm also not going to be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be your cheerleader. Like, I don't think this is a good basketball team. I think the De'Aaron Fox trade was a failure. I think they'd be better off without Zach LaVine. I understand why you make that swing. Mm-hmm. I absolutely understand it. And when they made it, it was like, okay, I get why they did this. Mm-hmm. I've seen this in execution now. It's not going to work. Time on the floor is going to make this better. It's not going to work. Zach LaVine does not fit. Zach LaVine's a fine basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Very good basketball player. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fit with this group.
Nope.
And there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. It's like you can say, oh, well, Zach and DeMar played together for 3 years. So they know. Well, they don't look like they played together at all. They also, you talk about the DeMar and Domas play. Those guys have played together for 60 games now or 50-something games now. That shouldn't happen, yeah, right? But you just get into this cycle where, like, nobody feels comfortable on the court. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that DeMar and Zach have played together, but... And then you got DeMar that's played with Domas for a little while, and Keegan's played with the Domas and Malik for 3 years. Like, that doesn't matter when they have to all learn how to play together,
yeah,
as like one unit, and it just doesn't seem to like mesh at all.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Doug can somehow like pull this together a little bit, and you can, maybe maximize, because I think Zach LaVine has a lot of talent, and maybe you find a way to maximize that. I just don't. I don't know what the move is for this group right now. I don't. Maybe you just continue to play this out, and you hope that you could take advantage of the schedule, because you're going to learn a lot here with Charlotte coming up,
yep,
in Utah. And it's no disrespect to those guys. We saw this team lose to New Orleans a couple of nights ago,
mm-hmm,
or not a couple of nights ago. It was a couple of games ago.
Couple
it was a week
ago. Yeah.
And like, okay, like those. You need to win those games. Like. Mm-hmm. Your season very much depends on this, because I think Phoenix is a disaster.
They're a mess.
And they hate each other.
Facts.
But if push comes to shove, can they beat Charlotte? Yeah, I think they can. If push comes to shove, can they beat Utah? I think that they can.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're going to be talking about a lot with, right now, Phoenix and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe keep your eye on Dallas and see what they look like over the course of the next, 12, 13 days or so.
For sure.
And they could fall back a little bit, where you see Golden State now start to creep into that 6, 7, 8 range. And then you've got Dallas, Sacramento, and Phoenix down there in that final 2-spot range.
Yeah.
And which one of those teams can take advantage of this? Maybe they're not good enough to beat Minnesota. Maybe you're not good enough to beat Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, and Boston in a 3-game stretch. But are you good enough to beat Utah, Charlotte, in this group that you have coming up here over the course of the next handful of games.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go, you know, you think vibes are bad now. Let OKC, you know, come into town with the opportunity to completely run away with the Western Conference. Yeah, they're going to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Boston is Boston and Milwaukee both trying to linger around, you know, top seed spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be a little fragile basketball team hosting them at the end of March with games left, with a handful of games left on the schedule, and see if you could survive that. I'm going to bet on the tougher team, and in my mind, that's Milwaukee, that's Oklahoma City, that's Boston every time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The thing I want, like, obviously they have to win tonight and against Utah. What is that, Wednesday?
Yeah. Wednesday? It's tonight and Wednesday.
Tonight and Wednesday. You have to win those games, but we were talking about this earlier. The bigger thing I'm looking for, more than, like, getting a W is the, like, number one thing, right?
Yeah.
I just want to see them come out and play like these games matter the amount that they do. I don't think that's asking for a lot.
Sure.
Maybe there's going to be turnovers because you're still learning how to play together. Maybe you're going to throw a bad pass. Maybe you're going to have an off shooting night. But can you go play with, like, the necessary force here?
Yeah.
And not act like you're 15 games over and you're just waiting for the playoffs to start?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
And if
which
they,
is a problem.
What if they and if they don't? What I fully expect is for this all to be over.
Yep.
Like, this offseason, the front office is gone, which should probably happen regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine DeMar is gone. I imagine Domas is gone. And I imagine Sacramento is looking at something that they're probably not mentally prepared for. Sacramento meaning Sacramento Kings fans.
Right.
That we got 1 year out of the Bean team, which resulted in a first-round playoff loss to the Golden State Warriors. I guess we had a high in knocking the Warriors out of the play-in, which we thought was their death. But it turns out their front office is mildly competent and knows how to turn depreciating assets for that franchise into an asset that might extend Steph just a smidge bit longer. Might. Does this play out past the year? I don't know, but I know Golden State's better now than they were 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're championship good, I don't know, but I know they're better than Sacramento.
They already won the championship.
But that's fine.
It's already been guaranteed.
Well, I've heard that. Yeah, I was watching that. And I'm fine with that. Like, I don't expect him to say anything else. And it's not his job to go win a championship. He just put all the pressure on Steph, so it's fine. And Jimmy.
Yeah. Got somebody else around it.
Yeah. They'll sit here
write
and
that check for him.
Score my 7 points.
Cash that check for him.
Yeah, score my 7 points and keep him moving.
I think it's going to be an interesting couple of
rebounds.
Months here in Sacramento. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, so one word for it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to suck.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope so too. Like,
it's so much.
I mean,
these shows are so much more fun when they're winning, and we get to do the handoff, and then you guys get Young Zell. And we're like, yeah, hey, it's a two verse.
I don't think we're ever hearing Young Zell again.
Come on.
No, I haven't talked. We might have to retire Light the Beam after this year.
Oh,
this is it. Like, what are we gonna play it 20 times next year? No. We might have to retire this thing.
Oh, you guys just
on the way of Flipside.
RIP Flipside.
Yeah.
Just for you guys, you don't mean the Beam entirely.
No. Okay. No, I hate the Beam. Like the Beam. The amount of times I have shown up to the arena with people who just desperately want to see that purple light shine in the sky, but don't get to.
Ugh.
It's terrible. Like, it is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
To leave and they look up and it's just sky. It's awful. So I've grown to, that has happened so many times that I hate the Beam.
It's hurt you.
It's, yes, times. Yes.
Man.
Yes. And every time I just keep running back to it because I'm here for it, but they're not. It's hurtful.
Sorry, man.
It's hurtful.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Probably a lot of this. I think Domas, I've always advocated Domas needs to be more aggressive on the offensive end. He's been more passive on the offensive end. We'll talk about stuff like that. And, you know, Detroit 6 games over .500.
Come on.
No, think about that, Kings fans. The Detroit Pistons.
My Pistons.
Kyle Mattson's Detroit Pistons. Yeah. So we'll talk about how all that ties together.
All right, very good.
Plus James Hamm.
James Hamm, 3:00.
Yep.
Right on. James Hamm also tomorrow on this radio station at 10 a.m. with The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water, be nice to people.